This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
To the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Ori Spencer and Rick Schmidt. Today is Saturday, the ninth day of October in the year of our Lord, 2021. Hope everybody's having a great weekend thus far. Ori, I think you're on the air, aren't you? And I know Rick is. Anyway, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Guys, I want to go over a couple of news stories real quick that might kind of be not in your face, but it's stuff you probably need to know about. And yes, it is stuff that will eventually affect you. The following three or four articles are from Zero Hedge. First one, life's a beach until the tsunami hits. Four waves nobody cares about yet. And I'm going to go through these four things. I'm not going to read the entire article, but it's quite a long article, actually. Number one is declining liquidity. In other words, yeah, the feds are pumping money out there, and they're doing a lot of it. All the central banks are, not just the U.S. Federal Reserve. But everything's getting soaked up. You know, they're trying to support all these banks, and it's all getting sorted, sucked up. Declining global growth. Boy, we can see that one up close and personal. We'll talk about this one a little bit later in the broadcast. Not much, though. In other words, to interpret, buy your Christmas presents this weekend, not next. Global supply shock. The same comment applies. Says, as we all know, global supply chains that everyone assumed were unbreakably robust turned out to be extremely fragile. Tightly bound systems of endless dependency change that fell to pieces once any one leak snapped. And folks, that includes credit, by the way. China credit impulse shock. While everyone in America focuses on the feds, we walk on the water claims of unlimited power to inflate asset bubbles forever. The rest of the world lives or dies on China's credit impulse, which has long been a reliable leading indicator of global expansion or contraction. Now, guys, we'll talk about this in a few minutes, more in more detail. Rick and Ori will jump in on this. I'm just trying to lay it out. All right. Here's one that's interesting. The entire country of Lebanon goes dark. Mass power outage to last several days. Now, folks, this is not the Lebanon and Beirut we knew in the early 19 to mid-1980s. You know, it used to be the nightlife of the Middle East. Everything was bright and shiny and lit up, even during the Civil War. Things were much better. Well, they ran out of diesel, folks. Hezbollah and Syria can't apparently fulfill their promises of keeping them in fuel. The only people that have any electricity right now are the military, which does have stockpiles of diesel. And apparently those with enough money to fuel their generators. So it's going to be a rough week or two for people in downtown Beirut and apparently for the whole country of Lebanon. Next one is sort of like that duh moment we told you about. Why the Swiss electorate put the brakes on climate policy? Well, folks, you can read the article yourself. I personally believe the reasons they post are a bunch of BS. I think the bottom line is the Swiss electorate figured it out where their wallet was going to be in another 6 months if this crap continued. Now, they're blaming it on, in the article, they're blaming it on the agriculture sector and things like that. No, I'm blaming it on people figuring out they won't be able to afford to live if all this horseshit goes into practice. Okay, Rick and Lori, I'm running short on breath here. I'm going to let you guys have it for just a second.
Lori, did you have anything in particular on your mind?
No, not really. So I'll let you go. Go ahead.
I'll be darned. That is humility at its finest. So, I have noticed here locally, and we're in the middle of the United States. As a matter of fact, humorously, the little town closest to me, I guess, I'm equidistant, really, but the little town of Wentzville is called the Crossroads of the Nation. And they call themselves that because they're not geographically dead in the center of the country. What they are is, if you measure population, I think that's how they did it, east and west, north and south, they were the population center. So you would think that in a lot of ways you could extrapolate there that so goes Wentzville, so goes the country, or something like that. You know, with the middle of the country should be, well, maybe that's ridiculous. Maybe it should exhibit some sort of normalcy. But what we've got going on here anyway, for what it's worth, is weird kinds of shortages of various things. And as we mentioned before, when we're talking about these manufactured rolling shortages meant to keep you, which I distracted from what's really happening, we've got oddball things. For example, Mr. Spencer and I were opining read this before the show. At Lowe's, they have a very peculiar way of doing things. They, I'm sure, don't think it's peculiar at all. But they bring out their Halloween stuff in August and September. Now, these would be, you know, decorations like their ceramic lighted pumpkins and these plug-in lights that you shine on your house and it makes ghosts go all over the place. And other paraphernalia, big 6 foot high grim reapers and witches that scream at you when you get close. Usually the side of the store where all of the barbecue pits, which is, man, it's a good 20% of the store in a Lowe's, that whole area. I guess it's an extension of lawn and garden, really, except it's inside. That's where you would get your barbecue pits, your charcoal hoses, all that kind of thing. That place is just usually just soaking in seasonal paraphernalia. Not this year. The pickings out there are slim. It looks like what they might have put out is a combination of whatever they got, whatever they managed to get their hands on, and last year's 6 foot high witches that they had a couple left over and maybe a grim reaper. But it is their selection of Halloween stuff this year is anemic would be a nice way of putting it. And I went in there just to buy a ghost light that I could shine on the garage for my grandchildren. And I was looking, I thought I'd have choices. Well, I did. I had, instead of having my choice of 30 to 50 different lights, I had a choice of 4. Okay, so I'm guessing that's the stuff that nobody wanted. From last year, what we find also is we have something up in Wentzville called a general store. It's run by a little old lady. We'll say it like that. Although she's not that little and she's really not that old, but it sounds better if I say that. It paints a better picture. They were looking forward. They sell, like, it's got a general store atmosphere. It's got the wooden floors. They've got those apothecary jars all down the counter filled with various kinds of hard candy and other things. They sell ice cream, coffee, latte. Their big deal is flavored garlic. They began life as a garlic farm and then started manufacturing various... Is that a note? Oh, never mind. They started manufacturing various flavored garlics, like lemon mint. And I don't really know why you would do a thing like that, but they're doing it. And actually, apparently, it's popular. They just now got in their spring shipment of their retailing merchandise. They also, you know, have a little gift store of sorts, you know, where they sell seasonal paraphernalia, snow globes, all that kind of thing. They just got in the spring stuff. So that's right on time for next year. So we could say they're either 8 months late or 6 months early, whatever, 3-4 months early. So they don't expect to see any Christmas stuff at all. They expect that's floating in the Atlantic in a cargo ship somewhere, ready to be offloaded for this Christmas of 2022. My point, what's the point?
Right.
My point? My point is obvious. If you didn't start your clock, if you didn't move your calendar ahead by 6 or 8 months, you're going to wind up behind by 6 or 8 months when things get just a little bit worse. And I think they probably will get worse. I don't think they're going to get better. I have to laugh when people say they're getting their vaccine so things can get back to normal. I could laugh if I weren't trying not to vomit. So that would be a problem
right.
In public. That would be bad. So my point here would be, reset your clock. You're going to have to get up from now on. You're going to have to start getting up 6 to 8 months early if you want to be on time for work. So I asked my associate the other day, I said, you haven't been vaxxed. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got the whole family vaxxed. You got the whole family vaxxed. Good. But you didn't get a booster, did you? And he said, well, I'm not even eligible for that. And it was embarrassing. I started cackling with laughter. Somebody saying they're not eligible to be murdered was so funny to me that I had to run down the hallway, and they could hear me laughing down the hallway. And they yelled out, yeah, it's going to be real funny 2 years from now when you die from COVID and I'm fine. That that made me laugh even harder.
And even more, yeah.
Then I had to go shut the bathroom door. Yeah, it was just terrible. I can't believe somebody's just waiting to be murdered. And they think they deserve it too. Anyway, the point would be, is that this is a channel, this is a radio program dedicated to trying to help you. We're not trying to tell you what to do. We're just trying to give you a few choices here. To that extent, let me mention one simple thing, and then Tim, I would like to let you opine. My being here on this show I know that, you know, at times I get a little, you know, carried away, and I might make a statement that sounds verbose, and probably in the past, if I've made any comments that you disagreed with, no doubt you're ready, willing to say, who does this guy think he is? Well, let me say this about that. If you've ever been to a let's say a karaoke bar or a Christmas party where people are imbibing, somebody will volunteer from one point of view or another to entertain in some various way. In a karaoke bar, they get up and sing, but it can take other forms, storytelling, joke telling, whatever. People will jump up and grab a microphone and sing in front of a group for numerous reasons, one of obviously being, you know, hey, look at me. Another reason might be that they're willing to entertain you and share with you, even if it turns out to be at their expense. That would be an exercise that would be quite a bit different from, hey, look at me. That's more of an exercise in humility and trust. I think that's kind of funny. And there are probably other reasons that a person would do these things. When a person, though, is braggadocio and even has the nerve to talk about themselves in the third person, that begins to be a kind of a red flag for me. It's like then you say, well, who does this person think that they are? I want to remind you of something we said years ago on the show, and that is your life is God's gift to you, and what you do with it, that's your gift to God. Somebody who talks about themselves in the third person is suggesting that you would be an improved version of yourself if you acted like them. What your job is to be the best version of yourself that you can be. Okay, that's your job. That's your gift to God.
Right.
The best version of you is not me. When you, at the time of your death, you're not going to go present me to God as an improved version of you. That's not possible for you to do. I don't expect that my behavior is in any way an improvement on your nature. That's your job. I'm only here to share with you to the best of my ability what I think that I have uncovered. You know, for better or for worse, you know, I probably make mistakes and stuff like that, but you got to roll with that. You got to understand that the worse your teacher is, the better student you have to be. That's your responsibility. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of clear that up because under no circumstances while I'm here talking, you know, do I think that I'm anybody other than a guy trying to be a better version of himself. And that's all I'm doing, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. Tim, I think you would probably have a thought on the matter.
Yeah,
maybe
actually
even
I
Lauren.
Do.
Yeah.
Well, she might. Well, you know, folks, first, I see what Rick goes through for preparation for the show. Guys, you don't got to get up at 5 in the morning Central to prepare for the show like Rick does. You got to tune in at 10 a.m. Central to listen to it. Rick doesn't get paid a penny for doing this, not 1 cent. In reality, it's an aggravation for him. It takes time away from his family and his grandchildren and his children. So, no, Rick is 100% right. He's not doing this for any braggadocious thing like, hey, look at me, or I'm better than you. What Rick does is study subjects that will help keep you alive in the future, maybe even in the very near future. What I do to prepare the show for the show is simply look at the news headlines. I keep up on what's going on now and today. I only share about 10% of what I know with this audience because I try to decipher what this audience wants to hear about. And not that I'm any smarter than you guys, just remember I do this. This is what I do. But what you guys would actually understand the consequences of. We only have 2 hours, so I can't break down things in an understandable fashion. I can look through it myself and in 30 seconds say, oh shit, we're in trouble. But trying to explain why we're in trouble to you guys might take a half hour on just one subject. Also, one other thing I do, and you can verify this with Lori, I pray to our Father in Heaven about a half hour before every show that I will say the things that are correct to first glorify Him and to second help people in their everyday lives and to help people with what's coming. I've got a lot of making up to do for bad stuff I've done in my life, folks. That's why I'm here, and that's what I'm trying to do. Lori?
Yeah, try and follow that, Lori.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want that job. All right.
I'm just here to help you guys. You know, what can I say?
Well, you do provide input, Lori.
Well, this is one of those touchy-feely things that I would think you'd be all over like a cheap suit. I mean, that's your job.
Gee, thanks.
Well, we do. I do gardening and other stuff. You're supposed to do touchy-feely.
Ah, I see how this works. Okay.
Yeah.
You forgot
exactly
to tell me that part.
I should have emailed you. Yeah, I should have emailed.
Yeah.
I should have told you.
Shouldn't have to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lori, you
guys
your
do that.
You're on right in that mic.
Getting your own. Yeah.
No, you guys do that, and I usually am the one that finds things and posts them on our Facebook page, which I have been doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I forgot about that. Well, all right. That would be fantastic. Gee, thanks, Tim. I was not expecting that. That's stung a little bit. All right. So
did I do something wrong?
No. I know you told the truth, which scared me. You frightened me. I'm speechless. In the last several months, John Wayne, I want you to hear this. This is unrelated. John Wayne's .45 Colt that he carried in the movie True Grit sold at auction. What do you think that .45 Colt, and it's not a fancy one at all. Actually, it looks like the lowest, it looks like the Walmart version of a Colt. You know, mine are better looking. What would you think his Colt .45 sold for?
I have no idea.
What's that?
Go ahead, Lori.
Well, if it was John Wayne's,
yeah,
probably
yeah.
More than it was worth.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Yeah.
I'd probably say 70 or 80,000, Rick.
No. You're not close.
All right. What was it?
Higher or lower?
Oh, my God. Way higher. What are you going to guess? I don't want to step on you. Going once, going twice.
Am I going to guess how much the Duke's gun went for? No, I'm not crazy.
$450,000. $450,000 for a pistol. Yeah, just because John Wayne had it in his big fat mitt. By the way, the man scares me. If you've ever watched him in movies, what was that one he's with? Of course, he's always with Ward Bond. He's hiding behind, I think it's the one where he's a Southern captain, and they have to kidnap this woman because she's got a big mouth. She wore a yellow ribbon. They're hiding behind a log on the riverbank, and he pulls out his revolver, and he brings it down, and he's going to shoot, but because he's got his big fat finger stuck all the way through to the middle knuckle, which is not the way you shoot. It goes off while the pistol is still at about a 30-degree angle up. So I guess he shot a throw. I don't know what he did, but the man was just not proficient with any firearms at all that I know of. Hopefully he took some lessons. Speaking of which, I was watching a video, related and unrelated. This guy named Bob Munden, the fastest quick draw artist on the planet, he had drawn fire in 2/100ths of a second, which is faster than neurological speed allows. Don't know how he did it.
Right.
You literally can't see it. You literally can't see him do it until he's actually, he's almost got the weapon back in the holster. So then they said, well, yeah, sure, anybody can do that, but you can't hit anything like that. So then he goes out about 7 paces and puts a pair of balloons about, let's say 10, 15 feet apart, and he bursts them, draws, fires twice. Sounds like one shot. No matter how many times you listen to it, you can't hear two shots. Fires twice, pops both balloons, and then shows the reporter that he has fired, in fact, 2 rounds, so it's not a trick, and he dumps the empties out on the ground. This is some of the weirdest stuff that I have ever seen. I have never seen anybody do anything that fast. There'd be no reason to own an automatic weapon if you were that fast. It wouldn't matter at all. No, you wouldn't be able to beat that man. I don't even think if you had a gun on him, you'd still probably lose. So anyway, it was just an interesting thing. If you're interested in that sort of thing, you can look up the Bob Munden. He's not a very humble man. When he's interviewed, they say, well, you know, 2/100ths of a second, you know, what is that equal to? And he says, well, the speed of light. And so, you know, that's Bob. Yeah, Bob, he's a very humble guy. So in any case, we are into the fall. You're getting the last of your everything. Last week, pulled out the last of the tomato plants and was trying to plant garlic, but I quit watering the tomato plants a while back and I could not make an intelligent hole. And so I had to water, and I will get the rest of the garlics in the ground. These, of course, are the elephant garlics that I just got in about a week ago. I'm still okay. You know, technically I've got till the middle of the month. Although, you know, as we said last week, we're looking for an evil end to this month, but I don't know if that will happen. We can talk
apparently
about...
Apparently the weatherman doesn't either, Rick.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be 90 here today. Hot. Then I'm going to go melt a little asphalt later. And, fix the cracks in my driveway before. That's not something you can do when it's cold, because that stuff's got to stay warm long enough for you to stomp some gravel into it. While we're on the subject of evil weather and cold, dark winter, I do have a little bit of gardening stuff we'll get to later on, but I would like to talk about, what's going on with the market and cryptocurrencies, and just some kind of, they would love for you not to think these things are related, but they absolutely are related.
One wouldn't
be happening without, if people were comfortable with the stock market, there wouldn't be a cryptocurrency.
Okay, guys. You're going to have to hold your thought on your cryptos. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension.
Welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. Okay, Rick, you were getting ready to talk about cryptos.
Thank you. That was quite helpful because I forgot what I was up to.
no problem.
I really did, yeah. I have Alzheimer's disease. The market core information that a lot of people are putting out there, including my son, who is, that's how he makes his living, is that the stock market is supposed to do very poorly from now till the end of the year. The whole fourth quarter is basically supposed to be bad for you if that's how you think you're saving money is by putting it in the stock market. I'm here to tell you that you're delusional. I know. It's been going up, and it's only been going up for one reason. You know what it is. The Fed is buying all the debt with printed money, and at some point, they'll either intentionally take the punch bowl away, and the party will be over, or it will just run empty and the party will be over. Either way, they're going to get you. Tim and I, we were, hitting the ball back and forth across the net before the show, and we were talking about some information that Cliff High, for good or for worse, sees in his predictive linguistic data sets, and that information it would be with regard basically to the bond market and Evergrande. And don't worry, this is not financial advice. This is something that no matter who you are, if this comes to fruition, it will most definitely impact your life. Tim has great information on the Evergrande problem, but just let me say it two sentences, and then we will speak to Tim. Cliff High has basically taken a look at this particular situation where we're having the Evergrande bond meltdown, which is, I think, the second largest property owner either in China or in the world. I forget. But their bonds are failing. Their bonds, how they fund the place, their bonds are failing. They're being called due. They're not paying. They don't have the money to pay. They've tried to sell their largest asset, which is this huge office building. No buyers. They've tried to sell off a number of their assets, trying to stay solvent, no buyers. Okay, so they've got a problem, and actually you have a problem, because about two-thirds of the derivative market, which, man, I forget, is a couple quadrillion, the derivatives market is a debt market, which basically, is a guy having a heart attack with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana. Two-thirds of the derivatives in the entire world are somehow linked to the Chinese bond market, i.e. Evergrande, which is failing. And if he took that and he overlaid our current situation with the bond market implosion of 33, which, of course, would be the Great Depression, and according to that data set, if you use that timeline, then somewhere around January, February, we should see the nuclear weapon that is the derivatives market of the bond market crumble. But he thinks it'll actually happen this year.
And by the way, folks, I don't mean to interrupt, Rick. I just want to throw something
you're
out
not.
There.
No, it's your turn.
All right.
No, I want you
on Evergrande, the derivatives exposure just to Evergrande and its subsidiaries is $456 trillion. That's with a T. All right, go ahead, Rick.
Well, no, that was kind of what I wanted to say, is his data sets also would show, and this is, I guess, the last dose of castor oil I've got for you here, is the Biden administration will fail in a hyperinflationary event, and inflation right now is running at either a 30-year high or an all-time high, I forget which. But if you want to look in any particular direction, if you want to find out which way the wind blows, watch Evergrande, because that might be the Prince Frederick, who's that dude that got shot and supposedly started World War One?
Ferdinand.
Archduke Ferdinand. Yeah, thanks. That of course was bullshit. That did not start the war, but that's what they used. And I think Evergrande is the Archduke Ferdinand moment. Maybe we're just going to find out. I'm not telling you that that's absolutely what's going to happen, but if that's the case and you've got money in the market when this blows, I wouldn't expect you to see any of it back. I'm just saying that's what I think.
Oh, I agree.
That would be my opinion. Well, so Tim, what do you suspect?
All right. Well, the way I see things, folks, is that, Evergrande right now, acting under the CCP, is paying only onshore bonds, only, nothing else. In other words, that means bonds that are in Chinese yuan. That's what they're paying. They're not paying bonds in Swiss francs or euros or dollars or anything like that. Those people that invested in those currencies with Evergrande, they're out of luck. As my dad used to say, SOL, you can imagine what that stands for. But that's where they're at. Now, is this a Archduke Ferdinand assassination moment? I'm not sure. That would be kind of a stretch in my thinking. But anything's possible, guys. Anything is possible. The Chinese Communist Party will turn this around on the United States and the West in general and make it our fault in their logic, at least as addressed to their people. They always do. You can count on them doing it again. Now, the exposure to U.S. firms is tremendous. When I mean firms, in other words, brokerages, the big banks that underwrite these deals with the derivatives, underwrite the derivatives and some of the loans, they're going to take a big hit, guys. There's no way around it. We already can see where this is going. It's not conspiracy theory. Everything I'm saying is stated facts. It's not a maybe that will happen. The Chinese Communist Party has already said, this is what's going to happen. So there's no guessing about it. So like Rick's saying, and this is, again, not financial advice. You do whatever you want. You know what your portfolio looks like. We don't. But let me put it like this. If I was in the stock market, which I'm not, but if I was in the stock market, I would be buying U.S.-based companies that are not beholden to anybody, that their profits well exceed that of other stocks on the market. That's the only way I'd go, and that would not be a large position, guys. If I was going to do a large position, it would be physical metals and cryptos. And by the way, Rick, how do you like what cryptos have done this week? I'm loving it.
Yeah. I do have a personal problem, and which has ruined my entire week, and that is that I moved some little tiny crypto over to KuCoin and switched it for Tether so I could buy a little Bitcoin when it was about $6,000 lower, and the Australians have locked me out. I've been trying to get back in, and it's ridiculous. The only thing I haven't given them are naked pictures, and I would if I thought it would help, but it's just, these people are nuts. Yes, cryptos are moving. Cryptos are leaving, at least for the moment, and this is what a lot of people have been suggesting was going to be once we got through September, and it was pretty accurate. Which is historically the worst month for all cryptos, that October, November, December would be fairly exciting. I believe, as I mentioned last week, Plan B had some predictions. They were finish August in 47,000, finish September 43,000. He was right. In both cases, figure this fit end this month, 68,000. November, I think it's 98, and then December finishes up at around 135. Even if I manage to get this KuCoin situation straightened out, I'm still irritated that I lost money. But, I guess if it goes to 135, I will forget the insult. No, I won't. But we'll see. But the whole reason this is happening, obviously, is because, and I've said this before, but you know, you can't make too little of this. Companies, countries, sovereign nations, cities, states, financial institutions, law and paw, millennials, they're fostering a complete mistrust of our financial system because it's all a fraud and a fake. And they're starting to figure out that it's a shell and pea game. And if you ever watch a magician, they will hold up something in front of you, and if you look at it, you're going to be fooled. What you got to do is train yourself to look at the hand they're not showing you. And anytime they hold something up, look the other way. Look the way they don't want you to look, and you'll see what's happening. Financial system is exactly that. They're holding. If you listen to the news media, and I'm going somewhere with this, is the brand new fostering of the mistrust of the mainstream media. If you listen to the media, it's COVID, 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 COVID all day, all night. They won't tell you that 87% of all the people in the hospital in Wales have been double vaxxed. That's not information that came from a psychic somewhere. That's the numbers coming out of Wales. That's official. Okay, so they're in there for what reason? They're in there because they caught the flu? No, they're in there because they got double vaxxed. So more people are looking at this. More people are looking at this situation, and they're beginning to get a funny feeling they're being lied to. That is fostering a mistrust of the mainstream media, which means that what people are doing, trying to inform themselves, is they're going to alternative sources for information, which I guess in itself, and I'm sure I've said this before, is dicey, because there's a lot of people out there putting information out. Some of them are trying to be helpful. Some of them are real whack jobs. Some of them are putting anything out because it fits a YouTube narrative, and they get paid for clicks. Most of the people who are doing a better job have been thrown off YouTube. So anybody on That's YouTube, right. I'm going to say what? Anybody left on YouTube may not be worth watching, because if they were, they would have already been ejected, and you'll find them on BitChute and Rumble, which is, you know, I guess kind of where you got to go. That and Zero Hedge and what else, Tim? You Breitbart, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, Breitbart, Zero Hedge, on Rumble, of course. I like Greg Hunter. There's a bunch of them like. There's some Christian stuff on there I like. Let me see. Cliff High, I believe, is on Brighteon? No.
He's on BitChute for sure, because that's where I find him. I would say, you might want to mention Red October, the latest one with Greg Hunter. That is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody will like that. I love a good.
I'm just going to recommend people
story.
Watch it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I would go to Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com. It's USAWatchdog.com. And he has everything right on his front page, very easy to find. Scroll down till you see the picture of Cliff High, click on him, and you can listen to the entire interview. And it is worth every second, guys.
It really is. That's a hot one. That's a good one with a lot of good information, and I really appreciate it. It does at least, you know, if you don't believe every single thing that they say, it does give you some ideas, and that's kind of important. They talk about any number of subjects in this interview. A little lengthy, I think, what is it, an hour and 15 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than most.
It's riveting, though. It really is, and they talk about everything from the vax to the cold, dark winter coming up, and just a lot of stuff about what they would consider to be your possible immediate future. So I like that. like I say, I love a good bedtime story, and especially if there's information in there that I find useful or that I can use, it is great. Tim, to that end, before we move on, I guess we were talking about you were talking about electrical outages before the show and wood pellets and that stuff.
Yeah.
You should do that.
During the break. Okay, folks, here's the deal. Again, coming from Zero Hedge, this is an article from October 7th, but I remembered it because I found it quite interesting. U.S. desperate for coal miners to meet soaring global command. Or demand, I mean, not command, demand. Well, we got a break, and I'll fill you guys in on this as soon as we get back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. All right, gentlemen.
Well, Lori, this article I was going to touch on is the one I told you about two or three evenings ago. And this, like I said, folks, this one is from Zero Hedge. It is from October 7, U.S. desperate for coal miners to meet soaring global demand. Well, the article talks about how even for dirty coal, there are record high prices. And the one sentence that truly got my attention out of here, some mining firms are desperate enough that they are offering $100,000 per year for new talent, not experienced people, but for new talent. Folks, somebody's getting desperate. Now, there's also an article out from Zero Hedge. I was not able to find that out, but it was either 11 or 13 energy firms, big ones like Piedmont, Touchstone, ones like that, are coming out and saying there cannot be enough coal at the current rate of production to make sure there are no blackouts if we have a decent winter this year. So I hope everybody's got their alternate other than electricity heating sources set up. Rick, comments?
Well, yes, I do, sort of. I was feeling, I guess I probably mentioned this, but I'll say it one more time in this context, and that is that because I've got four generators, I gave one away. I gave two away. I gave away a small one, a small 3,000 watt inverter, and then a 5,500 watt gas. But I've got a 5,000 watt gas left. Got a 5,000 watt Generac that runs on bottle gas, which is interesting. And then I've got two of the military generators. The Air
That's
Force,
what I'd like to have.
It's actually they're a little cheaper than a new generator, a new gas generator. It's honestly, in my opinion, the diesel, if you can get the diesel brushless, that's a real good idea. But what I wanted to say about that was, a while back, you know, I thought I was set pretty well. The problem with the generators with brushes is the brushes really don't last very long.
No.
You know, 3, 4, 5 days under a load and they're shot. So if you don't have a bunch of extra brushes, you really aren't going to have electric very long. Especially if you've only got one generator. If you've got one generator, you better have a metric poop load of brushes, or you're simply not going to be able to do anything. The other problem, of course, is gasoline. You know, how long to store it, where to store it, that kind of thing. The diesel, diesel's less flammable and easy to store, but one of my military generators started spraying oil out somewhere out from the bottom. I haven't had a chance to find the leak yet. But the question would be, is that, you know, even when I do, is that something, you know, is that a gasket? And if so, how am I going to get that fixed? Because it's obviously, it's an Onan generator. With a the diesel end is the big diesel maker? It's not Cummins. It's a Cummins.
Oh,
it's
Cummins.
A Cummins,
okay.
Diesel motor. There it is.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, please hold on, guys. We have our top of the hour break. We'll be back in just a few minutes.